And greetings. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse. And as always, I'm wishing you the best. And we love bringing you the natural nurse and Dr. Z every week right here on Progressive Radio Network. And we have so many other adventures that you can join with us on. The best place to go is naturalnurse.com. That's all one word, natural nurse. If you want to get on our newsletter, just scroll all the way down to the bottom of the first page, and it says, subscribe to receive free newsletters. When you click that, you will be asked for one piece of information, one piece only, which is your email. Then you will get an email from Health Realizations, and you have to look for that. I notice a lot of people tell me that winds up in their spam. It just says, would you like to join the Natural Nurse newsletter? And then if you click yes, you're on. And if you ever decide you don't want to get it anymore, you just easily click unsubscribe. Also, we send out very few newsletters. We're going to be sending out shortly a way to find a free webinar series, which is coming up about cooking with natural wild plants. So that might be something you'd like to tune into. And we'll also have that on our Facebook page and Instagram page. So you can join that webinar anytime you want or not. There's like no pushy sales because we just give free information. And we have been doing that for many, many years. If you'd like to know about our books, if you go to naturalnurse.com and click on books, you will see that we have written many books, such as Arthritis, the Alternative Medicine Definitive Guide, which has a full protocol about everything having to do with decreasing inflammation. And as you probably know, inflammation is the major cause of every single thing that might bother you in terms of health and wellness. So something you really, really want to do is decrease inflammation. And that is in our book, Arthritis. We have another book called Weight Loss, The Definitive Guide. And that's 10 healthy ways to permanently shed unwanted pounds. And we have many stories in there of people who have done just that. But with this, it's not about quick weight loss and then gain it all back again. It's about changing your lifestyle so you just enjoy doing the things that naturally keep your weight in balance. Then our book, The Natural Medicine Chest, is a guide to using herbs and natural medicines to keep you and your family thriving. And that book is also available, and it's available as a Kindle for, you know, very inexpensive, the full book, The Natural Medicine Chest. We also have The Natural Guide to Great Sex, Cycles of Life. Cycles of Life is an interesting book, mostly focused on women. It's herbs and energy techniques for the stages of a woman's life. We have things in there like a natural formula. If you have trouble breastfeeding, or if you're breastfeeding, if you're a woman, of course, and you're going to work and you want to not use commercial formulas, well, we have an all-natural baby formula in that book, as well as all the herbs you need to keep yourself healthy and well throughout the reproductive years, throughout menopause, and beyond. So it's real. That's why it's called Cycles of Life, Herbs and Energy Techniques for the Stages of a Woman's Life. Then we have an interesting book that has been selling a lot the last few weeks. It's called Synchronous Connections, A Personal Journey in Non-Ordinary Reality. Because if any of you watch C-SPAN or really any news, right wing, left wing, whatever news, they've all been talking about this amazing Senate hearing where they had three of the top people from the Army, the Navy, and the Marines discussing their understanding of what's going on with UFOs. They call them something else with an A, but anyway, they're UFOs. And you can even Google that Senate hearing about UFOs. It was 3 hours. I watched the entire thing live as it happened on C-SPAN. And what's so amazing is everything they discussed is something I write about in my book, Synchronous Connections, A Personal Journey in Non-Ordinary Reality, because I myself have been contacted many times and am a known contactee in terms of extraterrestrial communication. And so I share all about that in that book. But what was amazing about the Senate hearing is they verified that all my experiences have also been documented by the top brass in the Army and Navy and Marines, and that there is absolutely no doubt that we have some kind of interesting interaction with entities that are definitely not from this planet, which I have known since I'm 7 years old, which I have walked among my whole entire life, which I wrote about in my book, Synchronous Connections. And it was just interesting to have that confirmation from the top brass in great, great detail. And you can watch it anytime. Just Google Senate hearing UFOs, and you will see the whole entire thing. Then I have a book called Keys to Virility and Vitality, which is also about sexual health. And we have Supplements for Pain. Supplements for Pain you can also get as a super inexpensive ebook, which just lists the many supplements that can bring down inflammation, herbs, homeopathics, etc., and how to use them. So we have an incredible amount of information there under our books. Then, if you look at our classes and events, you can see the many ways you can join myself and Dr. Eugene Zamperone, both in person and live online or archived. All of our classes, by the way, offer CE units if you are a health professional, such as a nurse, or an acupuncturist, a massage therapist, a registered dietitian, or a clinical nutritionist, everyone who might need ongoing CE credits, our classes offer them. And of course, you can take it without needing those or having anything like that. But coming up really soon, we have our Autumn Wild Edible and Herb Identification Walk, and that's in Long Island, New York. Then we have our Herb Walk and Medicine Making Fun Shop at Gilberti's Farm. These always sell out. So if you're interested in coming, I would suggest you go to naturalnurse.com events, and then you can actually get to where you sign up for these. Then we have a lot of online events. Look, this one is free. So if any of you wanted to take a class live in real time, but virtual from anywhere in the world that is free, this is the one to join in on. This is called Herbs for Eye Health and Electromagnetic Field Deflection. There's no products involved. It's simply information about your eyes. The eyes have been called the windows to our soul, and eye health is supported by antioxidants. So, how do you use natural therapies such as herbs and supplements and deflective fields to support your eye health? And then we have in downtown Chinatown, New York, it's like going to another country. We have the Chinatown Herb Walk and Tour in New York City. And we also have a class on natural support for ear infections, a good thing to know about. We also have an online class coming up about FDA and FTC regulations for herbal products. If you're planning on selling any herbal products, I highly suggest you take this class because the FDA and FTC are severely and aggressively going after small sellers of herbal products, and you can't fight them. You will not, I mean, maybe you will if you have $10 million. You need about $3 million just for the fines alone. So it's much better to know what you're doing, not do it, not relate to them, not get on board with them as pen pals would be the best way to go. And that class is coming up in November. And then next spring, we have our Echo Tours for Cures, the education vacation in the island of Jamaica, our 2024 version. I think that's our 40th year of doing that. So you can find out more just by going to naturalnurse.com and click on classes and events, and you'll find out all about that. And if you want to get in touch with us, you can always just go to naturalnurse.com, and there's a way that says contact the natural nurse, and then you'll be emailing us. We love your suggestions about topics for our shows here on where we are right now, which is the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, as well as our many other venues and radio shows. So today, we're so happy to bring on board our guest. And that is Mr. Alan Pace. He is a healthy home concierge with over 30 years of experience in the healthy home building materials industry. And he's the founder of the Green Design Center and also does his own podcast called the Non-Toxic Environments Podcast. He's an expert at creating healthy homes that are non-toxic and free of outgassing. He has a strong focus on mold prevention and remediation and works with contractors and home builders around the world to create healthy breathing within the home through proper HVAC systems, humidifiers, and other modes of healthy ventilation. So thank you so much for joining us today, Andy.
It is absolutely my pleasure to be here with you and your audience, Alan. Thank you.
So let's go back in time. And, you know, this is a real specialty that you're in, healthy homes. Mm-hmm. What led you down this path?
So I started in my family's construction material supply business back in 1989. I'm fresh out of school and I'm excited to be involved in the family business. And I learned all about things like concrete repair and paints and coatings and so forth. I was working on a project in Milwaukee back in 1992, and we were supplying and applying these specialty coatings on a project. And long story short, three of our workers ended up hospitalized because of inhalation complications. They literally couldn't breathe because of the chemical release coming from the coatings as they were applying it. And it scared the heck out of me. And here I am still just new in the industry. And I thought, we are going to ruin our family's, you know, business and our reputation because we're poisoning people. We're gonna harm our clients. We're harming our workers. So I thought at that point there's got to be a better way to do things. And I searched long and far and found a small company in California called AFM, American Formulating and Manufacturing, and they were a company that focused on making toxin-free paints and coatings and specialty sealers for people with what was called multiple chemical sensitivity. And I had no idea at the time what that meant. I sure learned fast that there's just a whole host of people, about 25% of the population suffers from a chemical sensitivity. And companies like Safecoat now cater to that that customer base and anybody else who wants to live in a healthier home.
You know, so that's interesting. As a young person out of college, you came, your family business was going on for a whole long time already. Mm-hmm. Yep. And suddenly you had sort of an internal conflict. Of course, everybody needs to make money and support themselves, and that's what your family business was doing.
Sure.
But then you realized that you had a conflict about it because the chemicals that you were using in building could be harming the very people who are hiring you to do this. But that puts you in a bind, because to move towards healthier bending material, building materials, not all the clients may not want that either.
It was certainly tough. It still is tough, I'll be honest with you. It's, you know, the construction industry is a machine, and that machine does not turn around very simply and doesn't fix itself very simply. You know, back 30 years ago, I remember speaking with some of the largest architecture and engineering firms in the country and talking to them about AFM paints and coatings and healthier building materials. And this is before the entire green building movement even started, mind you. You know, that really got started in the mid to late 90s, and where I started working with healthy building materials in the early 90s. And so when the green building movement took off, the industry pushed back, of course, because why should we change what we're doing? It's, you know, this is working. Let's not screw it up. Well, when the green building movement started taking off because of energy regulations, you know, global environmental concerns, it completely forgot about the human health aspect, the reason why I wanted to get to push this. And so it adopted all of these green building regulations and recommendations for building and for remodeling, again, ignoring the human health aspect. And now here we are all these years later, and the industry is sort of collectively saying, huh, you know, people have to live in these buildings and work in these buildings. Maybe these the occupants should be protected as well as the environment, or even better, let's say. So, yeah, it was a pushback back then. It still is. I believe that everybody involved in whatever industry you are in, you get comfortable in what you've been doing. There's a familiarity with the procedures and the processes, the products, and it's very difficult to change what you're doing because, you know, especially in a industry like construction where you get paid based upon your performance and how quickly you can get it done, changing the process by using different materials is potentially going to cause delays. It's potentially going to cause extra dollars being spent and therefore reducing profits and making the project and making, I guess, the attraction of the project is going away because there's not as high of a margin. It makes it difficult to run a business. So I understand all of that, but it's still difficult when the industry is sort of still pushing back because now at this point they realize that there's a problem with the materials and the health aspect, but they just don't want to listen. I think they're afraid to admit the problem.
So, right, that's a pretty good roundup. In other words, we know for sure that most of the conventional ways of construction, I find particularly, and you tell me, you're the expert. When I'm going to get another house, let's say, or a different residence, I usually tend to buy older places. And of course, then there's the possibility of mold that you're also an expert at. But it seems there's a lot less of that outgassing, toxic, even smell that I can smell if I walk into any new house. Is it true that an older house, the outgassing stops at some point?
So, yes, simplistically answering, yes, it is true that off-gassing eventually will stop. And let me just preface that by saying off-gassing is the release of unreacted chemical monomers from materials that are curing or have already cured. And this is just little bits and pieces of chemical that'll poke out anywhere from 2 years to 50 years after materials have been installed. So, yes, it is true. After some point, chemical off-gassing will stop from the building materials. However, here's the downsides of buying an older home. You don't know how that home was maintained. You don't know what was done in that home. How many times did they have plumbing leaks? How many times did they have, pest control companies come in and spray pesticides? How often was perfume and cologne spilled on the floors and got soaked into the subfloor? So there's so many things that can happen in a home in 50 years that you may avoid the pitfalls of chemical off-gassing from the building materials, but you are subject to anything that's happened in that house in the last 50 years. So I can make an argument that just about any age of a home, brand new or 100 years old, can be healthy. I can also say that both of those can be unhealthy. So you have to sort of pick and choose your battles, right? You got to decide what's most important, what you can control better. I think We all have to tap into that common sense that we have, but sometimes it's not too common. We have to understand our surroundings. And this means, you know, what if you are somebody who is chemically sensitive, or you maybe you think you have some sensitivities, you have to understand what your triggers are and try to avoid those, of course. But I guess to answer your original question, I actually will argue that building a new home today, utilizing the correct materials and methods, making sure that everybody in the process is on board, I will argue that that will be the healthiest home you'll ever live in, especially compared to homes that were built years ago.
Okay, that's your answer, because mm-hmm. I find I have one home that was built in 1918, mm-hmm. one that was built in 1895, mm-hmm. and one that was built in 1974. So, you know, variety. So all of them, right. I think, are beyond that, almost that 50-year mark. Right. But I actually find the older homes, for me, like I get no reactions whatsoever. So I don't know why.
Well,
I'm happy there.
You have to look at the age of those three homes. Of course, back in the 1800s and early 1900s, there weren't plastics. Right. There weren't all of these synthetics that were
and,
that are
and
used
like you said, treated wood. Even when we do have a problem, we take down stuff. That wood is totally different. It's big chunks of real wood. It's
right.
not plasterboard of any kind.
Correct. Correct. And so and also remember back then, too, the homes were not built to be energy efficient. Nobody cared about that back then. It
True.
Was to protect you against the elements and protect you against animals. And that's about it. And so these homes had natural breathability. Now, in 1974, if you compare it to a 74 home, in 1974, homes started to become built more energy efficiently because of the OPEC oil embargo of 73. Contractors, developers decided that they needed to build homes and office buildings a little bit tighter because of the cost of energy that was skyrocketing at the time. It's also, you know, throughout the 60s and early 70s when plastics really started to become part of the norm. And a lot of homes built in the 70s and especially in the 80s, where a lot of these technologies really exploded, but we didn't understand the ramifications of them. Those are the homes I tend to avoid. But yeah, there's a vast difference between a 1974 home and an 1894 home. But I would say a home built in 2023, utilizing, again, the systems and materials that I'll recommend, will be healthier than either of those homes.
Wow, that's great information. And I do want to let people know that they can find your information at thegreendesigncenter.com, thegreendesigncenter.com. And as we said, Andy has a wonderful podcast where he has lots of in-depth information, and we're going to talk a lot about these things too. Non-toxic environments. Where would someone find the Non-Toxic Environments podcast, Andy?
So you can find that podcast on iTunes, Spotify, just about any podcast player that's out there these days. We took a little summer hiatus with the podcast, and we are starting our new season in September.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, so our listeners can listen to a little show we do called The Natural Medicine Chest. And when we come back, we're going to be continuing our discussion about healthy living with healthy building materials with our expert guest, Andy Pace. We'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the folklore, history, chemistry, and medicinal applications of the common kitchen herb, thyme.
The common culinary spice known botanically as Thymus vulgaris is only one member of a large genera which includes over 400 species and even more varieties. The Thymus genera is originally native to the Mediterranean region and is a perennial plant which grows wild in usually dry, sandy soil, green heaths, and grasslands. Thyme is a prolific, fragrant, creeping ground cover and often displays an attractive spray of flowering branchlets spanning the spectrum from white to violet.
There is considerable debate amongst historians as to the origin of the name thyme. Some believe it to be from the Greek thymen, meaning to fumigate or to burn a sacrifice, because it was used as a sweet-smelling incense and also to keep pests and venomous creatures away from the Greek home. Others believe it came from the Greek thumos, meaning courage or energy, perhaps because it has a reputation of being used by Greek warriors for courage and was bathed in and used as a beverage for invigoration. The Egyptians used an herb called tham, which we believe is Thymus vulgaris, to mummify their dead. The principal chemical constituents of thyme are the volatile oils consisting of phenol, thymol, and carvacrol. A 1977 article in the scientific journal Chemical Abstracts revealed that thymol's antimicrobial activity is 18 times more powerful than phenol. Phenol is a major antiseptic used in commercial germicidal cleaners like Lysol. Thymol is one of the most potent antimicrobial substances known and far surpasses even the strongest antibiotics. It has been illustrated in the Journal of Chemistry and in the Merck Index of Drugs and Chemicals to destroy parasites, worms, fungi, bacteria, mosquito larvae, and many viruses.
The pharmaceutical and cosmetic industry is privy to the important medicinal effects of oil of Thymus vulgaris. It is ubiquitously found in gargles, cough drops, vapor rubs, and many mouthwashes. Oil of thyme is to be used, albeit very sparingly because of its potency, as a gargle or mouthwash for sore throats and inflamed gums. Because the volatile oil is expelled via the lungs and kidneys, naturopathic physicians use it for upper respiratory infections and urinary tract infections. If you're in the midst of a cold and are lying in bed with too much thyme on your hands, try making a thyme tea made with just a few teaspoons of thyme to a cup of boiling water. It's an excellent diaphoretic because it causes the body to perspire profusely. Thyme also possesses an excellent carminative and antispasmodic effect, helping in poor digestion, flatulence, and intestinal gripe.
So, listeners, if you're feeling ill, thyme heals all wounds. Remember to reach for that thyme in a bottle the next time you open up Natural Medicine Chest.
Welcome back once more to the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We love to hear from you. Just go to naturalnurse.com. Tell us what's on your mind or what you are interested in learning about in terms of natural lifestyle. Today, we are so happy to have as our guest, Andy Pace. And he is a healthy home concierge who helps people put together the best healthy home environment by choosing the best materials, which are very different from the ones that seem to be widely available. He is the founder of the Green Design Center, and you can find him at thegreendesigncenter.com. So thank you so much for joining us today, Andy.
Thank you, Ellen.
Now, let me ask you this. I have a friend who is, he's not challenged in terms of money. That's not his problem. You know, some people are, but he's not. He's very interested in what you do, something like environmentally safe construction. In the last just few years, he has purchased a couple of brand new houses that he moved from one, then he moved into the other one. And even though he's very into this, the builders who are, you know, like a big giant commercial builder, I think they're called Toll Brothers or something, and they just build all over the country, these big, brand new, fancy looking, you know, kind of communities, but they don't use anything that's like this. And when he asks them about it, he can't seem to make that happen.
Right. Well, that's because, again, the building industry is kind of separated in two parts. You have builders like Toll and others that build quality homes, but designed to be built in mass. So they normally don't just build one home in a subdivision. They're not a custom home builder per se.
Correct.
They'll build 12 or 20 or 100 in development. And they build good quality homes, And it might maybe even be high-end features, but they do it in mass. Then you have the custom home builders. And the custom home builders are the ones that listen to the clients, listen to, you know, actually follow a custom set of blueprints an architect put together that an interior designer may have been involved with, and the customer has input in. And these custom home builders are used to clients coming to them and saying, I've got a Pinterest page with 1,500 pictures of a kitchen. Can you do something like this? And a good custom home builder would say, absolutely, we'll make that happen. So I find that custom home builders around the country are the ones that I want to work with in building a healthy home, because this is essentially just is like another thing that a homeowner would want. You know, they want the custom kitchen, that gourmet kitchen, and they want a large great room with tall ceilings. Well, they also want a healthy home. And a custom home builder is able to listen and then provide that with some guidance.
That's really interesting, because this exact friend, and I'll say his name is Mark, and I'll have him listen to this show, just said that as he's now looking into yet another place, he wants to have a lot of these environmentally friendly building materials used, but also one of the things he dislikes in the models are those tall ceilings, which seem to be all the rage. But he thinks they're ridiculous because it's just, you have to air conditioning and it's in Florida. What for? What are your feelings about those high ceilings?
Yeah, I think it's a trend. And I'm sure it'll come back at some point. There's pros and cons to all of those types of features. Obviously, the biggest con is the fact that ventilation is always an issue. Dusting, changing lights, things like that, you know, light bulbs down the road. And then from a standpoint of a healthy home, and these are the features that builders and even architects don't even really think about, is when you have a really tall ceiling and you have virtually no attic space, now you're essentially forcing the design to use less healthy materials, because you need the correct insulative value, and that usually ends up being a spray foam insulation. And I'm not a big fan of spray foam insulations because of the inherent toxicity of those ingredients, and so I'd like to avoid that. I think that the points of a tall ceiling, for those other reasons, you know, that it's bad for airflow, it's difficult to change light bulbs and so forth, it's echoey, but the bigger issue is how do you insulate it, and then you run into problems with the material. So now, if we had the ability to be involved during the design process, we could help the design team put together a plan that would actually utilize healthier insulated materials without the need of the spray foams and still give you some of that look if you're trying to achieve that. So there's always ways around things, depending on what your style is. But yeah, the tall ceilings, I think that it looks neat, and it's very aesthetically pleasing to a lot of people, but there are some downsides.
To me, it's just about making a statement that you have money. I don't know. That's how I feel about it. It's like just, well, you know.
It depends on where it's located, too. And some people love having the tall ceilings because they have a backyard that overlooks a lot of trees or hills, or you know, they have a view of the sunset and they want to take advantage of more windows, which I would argue which is actually good for the indoor air quality of the home. More light into a home is better for a lot of reasons. So there are advantages.
And so for each individual case, it's going to be different. That's why it's a really good idea to get in touch with Andy at thegreendesigncenter.com. And if someone goes there, is there a way to actually reach you? You must do consults with people if they find out that they're in the building stage and they can use better, healthier materials.
Yes, when I'm not doing shows like yours, I'm doing consulting with clients literally all over the world who are either designing and building a new home, or even just needed to get a little advice on how to do some repairs, but in a healthier manner. You can book a consult with me anywhere from 15 minutes up to an hour in a specific, you know, appointment. But then I also have dozens of clients that are hiring me for projects. So they'll hire me for an annual consultation package. So I'm involved in all phases of design and construction.
And it's really good to find, like, know before you go, I would say, right? So, like, something like paint. Now, a lot of people might have a house that's already been built. They're not going to knock the whole thing down, change the size of the ceilings, change the wood in the walls. They're not going to do that. But let's say it's time to paint. Something like that, you can make a better, healthier choice. Correct?
Without a doubt. You know, I look at a home, whether it's a new home, existing home, 90% of the health issues derive from the building materials, so the off-gassing issues. 90% of those things that will affect you will come from the things you see and touch on a daily basis. Your flooring materials will be number one because it's a large area, obviously, of your home, the entire square footage of the home, and it's typically a thick substrate. So, you know, engineered floors, vinyl floors, carpeting, and so forth. The second biggest offender in most people's homes would be your painted surfaces, your walls and ceilings. Now, obviously, paint goes on very, very thin compared to the thickness of a flooring material, but there's a lot more of it, number one. And number two, it's a it has to cure on site. So anything that is curing in your home, paints, adhesives, caulking materials, different types of sealers, anything that actually has to reach a cure has the potential of releasing chemical for a long period. As a matter of fact, it's been shown that paint, even zero VOC paint that's on the market these days, can off-gas toxins anywhere from 2.5 to 4.5 years after reaching a full cure. So it is crucial to choose a paint that's not just zero VOC, because that means it's better for the outdoor environment, but paints that are free of health hazards and toxins. Again, why I work with companies like AFM or another company called Keim out of Germany that makes mineral paints. These are the types of products that we will work with on a regular basis.
Wow, what is that? That piqued my interest. A mineral paint. Now, if we were to want to get something like that, tell me about it. And also, how do you order such a thing? Do you have to have it shipped from Germany?
No, it's actually stocked here in the U.S. And so there's a large U.S. distribution center in the Carolinas. Mineral paint is actually the original way of making paint from, you know, literally 1,000 years ago or longer. I mean, it's essentially the combination of certain minerals and water. And if you compare it to paint that we make today, paint that we make today is predominantly made from plastic. It's acrylic paint. That, you know, your better quality paints will be 100% acrylic. Some others will actually contain things like vinyl, different vinyl copolymers. But these are liquid plastics. And once it cures on the surface, it creates that really nice durable film. But again, it's a plastic, and some people just want to avoid plastics because they're trying to live in a more natural environment. You also have to remember that plastics over time start to lose their ability to allow moisture vapor to come through, so they become a vapor barrier. You know, think of a liquid paint as like a sheet of cling wrap on your walls. Now, this happens over time, takes 10, 15 years for the paint to really squeeze down to this vapor barrier. Mineral paint is different. It's just made up of, again, ground found minerals and water and natural pigments. And when you apply it to the surface, not only does it give it a you know, beautiful color, fresh new look, but it's fully breathable. So moisture that might be in the wall can get back into the room, not get locked behind the paint. And that will last for the lifespan of the paint. If you use it exterior, it will shed water, rainwater, but it will allow vapor transmission so you don't get the paint peeling. You know, everybody who's ever painted the outside of their home before, if their home is made from wood or brick, and they notice that their paint was peeling at one point, well, that's because there's moisture in the surface trying to get out, and a latex paint won't allow that to come out, and it'll end up peeling. Mineral paints will allow it to transmit through, and it won't affect the integrity of the coating. So made in Germany because that's where all these particular minerals are coming from, that region in Europe. and then shipped to the United States in bulk, and then shipped from the United States location all the way around North America.
What about like the color, and what is it like in terms of the odor or scent when it's freshly painted?
Great question. The colors that are available, they literally have hundreds of colors that are available. And so I would say, you know, the paint industry in general right now has become kind of like the printing industry. If you can think of a color, they can make it. With mineral paints, there's a little more of, or a little less available because we're dealing with natural mineral pigments. And so the color matching isn't as precise as using a computer and using plastics. However, the colors that you do get are very vibrant, very rich. Typically it's one coat coverage. Now, the second question I think I kind of spaced on, but you know, using the product is very easy. The odor you're talking about.
So I was saying when a room gets painted, right? So you discuss the color, that it's beautiful, vibrant colors, but may not have the giant palette that the fakely colored plastic paints do.
Right.
So when you get a room painted, in the old days when we used to use oil paints, you could smell that for weeks. I mean, I'd have to move out of my house. Well, now, you know, a day or two, there's kind of no scent left. How are these paints in terms of that?
I would say they have less odor during the application of even the newest zero VOC paints.
So that means
that, you know, after 24 hours, you wouldn't even know that any painting was done except for the new beautiful color. Now, I need to say something about the comparing oil based to the new water based when it comes to scent, because this is one of the issues we have in the industry. You know, back in, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, longer, when we were all using oil-based paints, we knew that there were dangers with those because of the smell. You know, our nose kind of gave it away. They were using different types of solvents like mineral spirits and acetone and all these things. Our nose gave it away. Well, with zero VOC paint, manufacturers have added what are called chemical masking agents. These chemical masking agents are not a very large percentage of the actual paint, so it doesn't have to be listed on the safety data sheet. But what these chemicals will do is they'll combine with other chemicals to create no odor. So even though the paint doesn't have a smell per se, it's kind of like the idea of using noise-canceling headphones. These newer zero VOC paints in the market that talk about being low odor or no odor, the chemicals are still there. As a matter of fact, they probably have even more chemical off-gassing than the old oil-based paints do, but they're using new technology, these new synthetic chemicals that hide the odors. So we're being duped into thinking that they're healthier.
I've never heard that before, Andy. That's why I love doing radio shows. This, you know, I've been doing this since 1964. Yes, that's with a six. But there's no end to learning new things. Right. I absolutely did not know that, because I walked into someone's house who recently repainted with an absolutely gorgeous color, you know, just regular. She didn't say anything about special paint, just regular. And I was really impressed. I said, really, you only did this 2 days ago, and like you're using it for a party today, and I do not smell anything.
Right.
So what you're saying is actually really kind of upsetting, but also I'm sure the reality of the situation.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate, because I think we're all sort of lulled into the sense of security when something is called eco-friendly or green, zero VOC. For some reason, we all think that means human-friendly, but that's not the case, number one. Number two, we all think that no odor means that it's safe. So let me give you two examples of that. Carbon monoxide. Carbon monoxide is odorless, but we know it can kill us, right?
Yeah, that's a good example.
Second example would be in paint specifically. I mentioned two solvents before, mineral spirits and acetone. Mineral spirits, very, very odoriferous chemical. And you can smell that from a mile away. It's just very, very distinct. Acetone, which, by the way, according to the EPA, is zero VOC. So it is used in zero VOC paints, and they just don't tell you. Acetone. If I were to open up a can of acetone in your house, on one side of the house, you're not going to smell it on the other side of the house. But I guarantee that in 15 minutes, you'll have detectable levels of acetone in your liver.
Wow.
So the industry uses acetone, ammonia, butyl acetate, trichloroethane, a whole host of very, very toxic chemicals. But, you know, the EPA does not regulate toxins, human toxins. They regulate environmental toxins.
Wow. That's eye-opening information, and we will continue to talk about that when we come back. Right now, we're going to take a little hiatus here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z just for a few minutes so that you can find out about a lot of the exciting information you can find out about right here on PRN.FM. And we'd like to hear from you. Go to naturalnurse.com. By the way, we have links there to listen to thousands of our previous podcasts, and PRN is also involved with that. So you can listen to all our older shows, and we have thousands overall. And we'd love to hear from you personally. You can email us through naturalnurse.com. Our guest today, fascinating guest about your health and wellness, is Andy Pace, and you can find him at thegreendesigncenter.com. We'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Welcome back to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. You can get in touch with us and find out lots of information, most of which is totally free, at naturalnurse.com. Today, our guest is from the Green Design Center, and he is Andy Pace. So we'll have time for one other topic. There's so many, Andy. What a fascinating show. And on the Green Design Center, I just took a look at it. You have a lot of things that people can use if they do want to integrate some of these better kinds of building materials that don't outgas and that kind of thing. So, you know, it's really a wonderful resource. But let's talk a little bit about mold, because boy, oh boy, with all the floods and fires and all the earth changes that are definitely going on right now, which we knew were coming, there's a lot of problems with these things, such as mold.
Right. I would say that in the last 5 years, mold has definitely become the hot topic. I think it's a combination of a lot of things, but I would actually say that because of the COVID pandemic, you know, being forced into our homes for a long period of time has actually given us a insight into how our homes operate throughout the day, throughout the night, and people are becoming more aware of what they see. Also, the building market right now, you know, think of homes that are for sale. People are buying homes and waiving inspection just to get into the home. They get into the home and they find out there's a mold problem, and they're spending tens of thousands of dollars in remediation. So this is definitely top of mind for most people these days.
And what is the problem with mold? And also, it could be hiding, right? Like, I almost purchased a condo, and when I then came in to do the inspection, when they took out the boards from where they keep the water heater, mm-hmm. the whole thing was covered with mold. And by the next day, the entire apartment smelled of mold.
Sure.
So it was probably there for years, and I didn't purchase the place. But it's pretty invasive.
It is. And so the reason why I think we're having a crisis of mold problems in this country is specifically because of what we talked about earlier in the show, Ellen. I think it's because of homes starting in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and now to today are being built so airtight for energy efficiency, for global environmental concerns, and we're forgetting about the occupants. These homes don't have natural breathability. I should step back a bit. I'm okay with a home that doesn't breathe at all. All right. If you want to build a home that's completely hermetically sealed, and then you use ventilation systems to bring in fresh air to the places where you want it, I'm fine with that. The problem we have in our industry is that we're building homes that are like semi-breathable. Air comes into the home, and in the wall system itself, as that air comes through, moisture gets locked in the wall, doesn't have a place to go, and it feeds the mold spores that are naturally on the wood. And so in order for mold to grow, you need really three things. You need mold spores, of course. You need a food source. That's usually organic materials like wood or drywall paper. You need warmth, so a conducive environment. And that is going to elevate your mold growth. And so homes have essentially been built to be mold factories instead of, building them to be resistant to mold. And so that's why we're seeing such a problem these days. So I think, you know, to your question about what does it cause, mold is something that is causing health issues similar to a chemical exposure, but on even deeper source. It's actually been proven now that about 25% of the world's population has a predisposition for becoming mold sensitive just based upon their genetic structure. And with a mold sensitivity also comes the possibility of a whole host of other immune system disorders. And so the more we learn about it, I think the more information that gets out there, the more people start asking questions. And so I believe that, yes, there's a higher indices of mold problems here in the country, but I also think it's because there's more information out there. People are willing to ask more questions. So it's coming to a head. I think in the next 5 to 10 years, mold is going to be the lead and asbestos of years ago.
Wow. So also, you know, you talk about antimicrobial countertops. Now, that became a big rage because of COVID, everybody spraying everything constantly with triclosan, which is an antibiotic that I think actually causes the growth of stronger and worse bacteria rather than the ones that you're washing off. So what are you talking about with actual building materials that are antimicrobial in and of themselves?
That's a really good topic.
I know we only have a few minutes, but you can share. Anyway,
sure. But I will say this. I just wrote an article about this, about the antimicrobials being used in building materials. And I understand the desire to do it. On the other hand, it's the unintended consequence that we're facing right now. As you mentioned, triclosan is a pesticide. And so this is what it's the chief component of a product called Microban, which is used in a lot of things. Yes, it gets rid of microbes on the surface, but it's also, because it's a pesticide, it can get into the blood system and create what are called trihalomethanes in the blood and essentially eat the body from the inside out. And that's what's happening with these antimicrobials. It's affecting us. And so the unintended consequence of trying to keep things clean is it's actually hurting us.
Yeah, that's what I would say. So what is your favorite antimicrobial countertop?
Well, I think the best antimicrobial countertop is just keeping a countertop clean. Just traditional soap and water is usually the best way to go. But there are products in the market. There's a product called Sapien Stone that is a large format porcelain. And it's a porcelain slab, 5 foot by 10 foot. It's fabricated just like granite or quartz, but it's easier to maintain, easier to keep clean. It doesn't absorb water, doesn't absorb bacteria or mold. It's a wonderful surface to live with.
Oh, well, that's great information. And thank you so much for being our guest today, Mr. Andy Pace, Healthy Home Concierge from thegreendesigncenter.com. That's where you'll find him, and we'll have a live link to his contacts as well. So thank you for being our guest. And thank you, listeners, for joining us once again for another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We love to hear from you. Best place to find us is naturalnurse.com. And you can listen to any number of past podcasts on a variety of topics. And until next time, we hope that you stay healthy.